Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, No Body, No Ministry. In the previous message, we examined how the soul and physical body are connected and how the soul determines our health. Medical science has proven that negative emotions can cause our body's nervous system, organs, and glands to malfunction and bring sickness. Divine healing is possible through the work of Jesus on the cross, but it is also predicated on the condition that you are walking uprightly with the Lord. Most pastors won't share if they are struggling with sickness because they don't want to seem weak, but it is important to be real and authentic in our walk with Christ. Pastor John shares personal examples how Satan is an adversary and how you can have victory regardless of the circumstances. This message is entitled, Emotions and Disease. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And this is the first Sunday in December. And we have a lot of work to do today. This is a teaching message. And it's going to take your undivided attention. So we could be talking about emotions and disease. Let me just pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now for helping me, Lord, to deliver this message as you have given it to me. And I want to thank you, I want to praise you now, Lord, that you will anoint me, anoint each one listening and watching, so that, Father God, we will have a transfer of information, of spiritual information, for the throne room of God, in Jesus' name, amen. As we have people in the chapel, people are watching, listening, we are different ages. And there's a deficiency that we have in ourselves as human beings. Now, housewives know this, that if you pour a lot of grease into the drain, you put a lot of stuff in there, eventually you will have a clogged drain. The problem is when the drain is backed up and you got water on the kitchen floor and you're screaming, you know, water, dirt. Remember this. It did not happen at that moment. It has been working to be like this maybe for a year, 2 years, 5 years. And the problem is, when it happened, we think, oh, it happened just now. No, it's been taking a long time. When people discover they have pain, they go to the doctor. Doctor, have you checked out and so on. And you come back and for a diagnosis, you sit down in the doctor's office. And the doctor says, well, we got some bad news. The bad news is you have cancer of the lungs, stomach, whatever it is. You have cancer. That cancer did not happen when you walked into the doctor's office. That cancer has been building for 20, 30, 40 years. And it finally manifests. The same with diabetes, heart attacks, strokes. If you are in your 20s, remember now, Satan is working to bring your future diseases into being. So we got to think about maintenance and why we have a disease. If you're driving your car and suddenly lights come on, engine stop, you're not moving, you towed in, and they say, well, your transmission blew up. The transmission blew up, but it has been having a problem a long time. And it's getting worn down, worn down, worn down, and then it blows. So this is what I want you to think about today. Long-term thinking. We used to eat what they called ding-dongs. I don't know if you remember those or not. They were actually a little thing with chocolate on top, full of loaded of sugar and stuff like this. And, guaranteed diabetes, cancer, after so many years of that stuff. Twinkies, remember that? Hershey bars. We just stuffed it down, and we never thought about, that one day you're going to be in a doctor's office. You're going to hear about it. You got arthritis, you got cancer, you got diabetes. And you says, how did that happen? Well, it took you a long time to eat to get that disease, right? And the worst thing of it is you paid for it yourself. Let's talk now about happy soul versus a wounded soul. Emotions, especially negative ones, will have a strong impact upon the soul and weaken the immune system of the physical body. You got to remember now, your soul is very sensitive. When your soul is stressed, there's a problem beginning to happen. Your soul begins to create negative energy, like electricity. That energy will flow out into the body. If you are very happy, there is good energy going out. There is healing in your body. If it is negative, it would simply bring a negative effect upon your body. That doesn't mean that you get sick immediately. But over the years, all the negative stuff adds up, and then you come down with a chronic disease. There are two things that will happen when your soul is wounded by somebody else. When somebody wounds you, it creates grief, which is amplified. And if your soul has been previously wounded, a second wound will be created, and then sickness will come. Soul wounds do not heal automatically, and your soul will sustain whatever sickness exists in your body. I don't care if you built like an ox, healthy, powerful, man or woman. You get negative emotions. You have a lot of stuff happening to you. Eventually, you will be in a wheelchair, in a hospital bed, your body broken down. And you ask yourself, how did I get here? Moment by moment. And that's a problem. It'd be so easy. If you had a problem, immediately you feel the pain, you can deal with it. But you don't feel it until you have accumulated maybe 500,000 soul wounds. And then suddenly you're struck with a disease. Pleasant words are like a healing balm to the soul. And that's why we should speak nicely to one another. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I have a favorite little knife. It's a like a butter knife, but it's a long one. It's about maybe 6 inches long, so when you have a jar, you can get down deep. And I really have been enjoying that knife. We probably had that for 30, 40 years. And I noticed the other day that suddenly it had corroded on the edges. And the reason for that was we had left it in some type of a moisture, and it started to corrode. And this is how I really want you to begin to think right now. When you have a negative thought, loss of a job, loss of income, something happened, some kind of conflict or whatever it is. If you are in an atmosphere like that, it's like you live in an acid area. And, you know, you move on, you say, oh, praise the Lord, praise God, you know, you move on and so on. But you're in an acid environment, and you do not know that you are breaking down inside. You still feel good, but give it time, and suddenly the rust shows up, and you have a breakdown of an organ. Let's just look on the first page here of my outline. When you meet someone that is upbeat and happy, it creates a good feeling in your soul, which in return releases positive energy into your body. Meeting a bad person leaves you a bad feeling all day long. I mean, you have experienced this. You meet the happy camper, and you get happy, you know, it's good times roll, you know, you feel good. And then you meet somebody that's down, you know, nothing is good, everything is bad, you know. And you simply go down yourself. I mean, it is not pleasant. You want to get away from that person, but you can't forget him. So it has a great impact upon us. Here's what will happen. These are the body parts. Now, this was written by a doctor many years ago. It's taken from the book, None of These Diseases. But every time when you have a negative or positive emotion, the following parts of your body will be affected. Your brain, esophagus, lungs, heart, liver, the gallbladder, stomach, kidneys, intestines, colon, and various glands that you have throughout the body. All of these will be affected. Here are some of the diseases that stem from negative energy. Ulcers of the stomach and intestines, colitis, high blood pressure, heart trouble, strokes, arteriosclerosis, which is hardening of the arteries. My wife and I have been going to some doctors for some checkup lately. And they always ask us, write down the medicines you're on. And we say, we are not on any medication. You're not on medication? What's wrong with you? Well, we don't need it. So we don't have any medication. So let's say that you come down with high blood pressure. The doctor says, no problem. He puts you on this drug. That drug will lower your high blood pressure, but it will kick out four other things in your body. Thyroid, other things. So what happened? You come back after 6 months to the doctor and says, well, I got this problem and that problem. The doctor says, okay, not a problem. We give you a drug for this, a drug for that. Statin drugs are super bad. So now you got drug for this. And before you know it, you are maybe 25 to 30 different medications because each medication is working against each other and they try to balance you. In the meantime, you are dying. You're not getting well. Chemicals do not make you well. Colitis, when you have a problem with your stomach, you're not digesting, you're getting stuck and so on, it's basically an emotional problem. It's a soul problem. And you need to deal with the soul. There's also kidney disease, heartaches, mental disturbances, goiter, diabetes, arthritis, cancer, and dementia. These are common diseases, right? Everybody's going to get them eventually when you get up in age. And you don't have to get those. It's a choice. It's a choice what you eat, exercise, and how you control your emotions. The adrenal glands are the key to health and the long life of the physical body. A person who engages in the following activities will damage their adrenal glands. Overwork, fatigue, fear, hate, exposure and injury to dangerous conditions, hurry, worry, and tension will affect your two adrenal glands. They sit on top of your kidneys. They are the main glands in your body that actually determines your age. You see, you can have so many miles on your body. We have a Volvo we drive, 2004 Volvo. We have about 172,000 miles on it. And it runs just as well today as when it came out of the factory. So miles does not mean that the car is bad. Just because you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old or 90 years old does not mean that you have to be sick. You are sick because not the mileage, but the food, the worry, the emotions over the years, that is what takes a toll upon you. The adrenal glands produce a hormone called DHEA. And the DHEA drives your entire body. Now, people discovered this a number of years ago. And you can go to the health food store, you can go to any store, and you can buy the hormone DHEA and put it into you, but it's an artificial hormone. And it actually will do you damage. See, if you have artificial hormones, they will damage your body. God made a little plant called a Mexican wild yam. And this little thing has a virtue. It has a chemical in it, a natural chemical, that when you have extract of it, and it's a little bit potent, it massages the adrenal glands, and it increases your DHEA level. Which means that if you have enough of this stuff, you will simply renew yourself, and you can get more mileage out of your life. I talked to a person the other day, I've been doing some, what they call it, health advice over the years. I'm not a doctor. But the guy said, you know, I go to the bathroom every 2 hours. He said, and he's only about 55 years old. So he said, you know, I had to run all the time. I says, well, there's a couple of things you can do. And they told him there's something called sarpaletto. There's another little thing that you can take, and you can take this thing for the DHEA. And the guy said, okay. So I hooked him up, and he bought the stuff. I asked him a little while. He says, you know, man, I sleep during the night. I don't go to the bathroom maybe every 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours. And I'm doing great. But then he complained. He said, you know, it's costing me $500 a month. I said, well, what do you want? You want the health, the mileage, or do you want to rot in the grave? Choice. It costs money to keep yourself healthy. So there's things we can do. Now, if you overwork, if you're one of these persons that work, you have fear, hate, and so on, the result will be that you will have different diseases. You will have arthritis, mental, vascular, gastrointestinal diseases. Now, diseases can be a result of generational curses. They can be germ and viral infections. But most of the time, diseases are caused by disturbances in the soul. There's no name on this. But we had a person some time ago, you don't know if it's a man or a woman, so don't try to guess. And these people don't live here in the Sacramento area. So every time there was a pressure on this person, if it was a tension, whatever it was, immediately the stomach exploded, the person had to run to the bathroom and just blemped out everything, wiped out. So we did the deliverance, and we prayed. And I asked the person after some time, I said, when you have a problem, something happened, do you still have to run to the bathroom? And the person, no. That problem disappeared. I don't have that problem anymore. I'm just fine. Now, they try to fix it with a medicine. But it was not a medical problem. It was a soul problem. And when you dealt with a soul, the disease or the problem disappeared. Now, in these messages, I cannot detail how to do certain things. I'm simply giving you a roadmap. And then in deliverances, in our book, Christian Dynamics, course number 1, and other things we have, soul damage, we can show you in detail how to do. But I want to speak now about sickness that is caused by Satan. You do not have that in the outline, so you have to write down the scriptures here. I'm going to turn to the book of Job to begin with. To the book of Job. And I've been praying and thinking about this for the last 24 hours. My wife and I came to Christ in 1965. And we have been walking with the Lord. I'm teaching deliverance. I'm teaching healing. We pray for the sick and so on. We've had a lot of activities happen over the years. A lot of people have been healed. But we ourselves, from time to time, have been struck with problems. I want to share one thing with you to begin with here. This goes back to about 1966. We have been saved. And on a Saturday, my wife and I were picking up a lady that we were helping. It was in Germany, a refugee. We were going to take her to the store to go shopping. She didn't drive. And I remember vividly walking into the Sears store in Salt Lake City, walked in on the first floor. They had 2 storage. So there was an escalator going up. And I was walking just a little bit in front of me, and I had a lady behind us. And as she just about came up to step on the escalator, I saw like somebody whacked her like this. And she fell down. And I knew nothing about demons. I knew nothing about anything, except I was saved. And so I picked her up, and she said, I got a headache. I said, it's enormous. So I had to take her home. For about 6 years, we battled that headache. At the time, it got so bad that we could not open up the drapes in the house, the curtains. She just had to be in the dark. We went to different doctors. They examined her. They could find nothing wrong with her. Couldn't find anything physically wrong. But we knew that she had a tremendous migraine headache that was horrifying. And a doctor spoke to her and said, you know, when you're going to move to California, when you come down, and maybe you get better. But I remember a full gospel businessman meeting. There's a man by the name of Bill Bosansky. He was a great evangelist, Ukrainian evangelist. And so we were in a meeting. There was quite a few of us, probably several hundred people. But he took time and he walked down between the tables. And he came down to Ina. I was standing next to her. And he said, what's your problem? She said, headache. He said, you got a sinus problem. Put his hand on her, prayed, short prayer, and she, boom, was on the floor. Now, she told me afterwards that she just felt like she was just failing down to the floor, but she just dropped, healed, instantly. There was a demon sitting there. Once that demon was gone, the headache was gone. So, diseases can be caused by evil spirits. We've seen that. In Job chapter 1, verse number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence come you? Where have you been? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, upright man, one who fears God, eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he has on every side? You bless the work of his hands, and his substance increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And then if you read the rest of the chapter, he killed all his children, destroyed his business, and Job had nothing left. In verse 20, the same chapter, then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and he worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Some people feel like praying is like a lottery. You know, don't know what God's going to do. You pray, hopefully, you know, God will do something, but you're not sure. But we have a number of variables in our existence on this earth. As I shared before, we have emotions. We have wrong food. We got chemicals, contamination. And then we have the devil and his fallen angels and the demons. Satan's goal is to attack the preachers, the deacons, the teachers, the men and women that are walking close with God. The closer you walk to God, the more the devil will hate you. The more you got to watch what you're doing. The more you got to increase your prayer time. Because he has a legal right to go to the courthouse and say, I want to attack this person. I'm going to break them. They're praising you now. But when I'm done, they're going to curse you, God. I don't know why God's allowing that. It's part of the deal that took place when Satan was sentenced to the lake of fire. But this is the way it is. We will be tested by the devil. I got a macular pucker 6 years ago. Lost my ability to read on my left eye. I believe in healing. I pray. I fasted. I'm getting better, but I still can't read on my left eye. So we get problems. And now the question comes, do you get mad at God? Do you feel that God has abandoned you? This is exactly what Satan wants to do. So what have my wife and I done? We've had setbacks. Not only setback with sickness, but I'm an expert in church splits and church fights. I have probably had at least 10 churches and church fights blow up. We've had labored for a long time, and we were going up greatly. Somebody came in, destroyed everything, and I know I was sitting on the ashes, and you're saying, well, what happened? And the devil could hear the demons laugh. We've been through that. But I decided this. I'm going to get up. I'm going to fight. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to keep on trucking. I am not going to stop. How do you like 47 years of that? We're still standing. And the devil is still grinding at us with everything he can. The ADL has labeled our church as a hate group. You go to their website, and they simply said, EAEC, hate. And they label us general hate. They cannot say what we hate, but we have general hate. What does that do? Well, you see, it's just like with Roy Moore, smear campaigns. Throw mud on us. For years, we had problems with finances to come in. And suddenly, a year and a half ago, everything turned. And God began to bless us. We're not walking around, we got money in our pocket and stuff, but we got our bills paid. But then you see, we didn't have any health issues. Then we had money issues. Now Satan moved from money issues to health issues. My brother's wife knocked out. Satira's wife knocked out. My wife knocked out. We ourselves got hit. So what do? We stand. In chapter 2 of Job, and there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence comes thou, or from where are you coming? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down it. Let me tell you, the demons are roaming. Satan is roaming around looking for people, just like you in the chapel and you that are watching. He is watching us. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, One that fears God and eschews evil, excuse me, rejects evil, and still hold fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause. Notice now, Satan said, you destroyed him. There was no cause. Sometimes there is no cause. You are attacked because you are good. You're attacked because you're walking with the Lord. Paul of Morgan, that was a demon that tripped you up and had you to go down on that knee. We've seen that with other people. It's a demon that tripped up Sotiris, knocked him out. Without cause. I've seen people where God simply could not stop them. So they turned their children against them. And the children simply went the other way. There's nothing more that hurts you. One of your sons turn against you. And everything you put in his life is worth nothing. He walks out and says, I want to see your dad more. I don't want to see your mom anymore. That hurts. And Satan is saying, grinning and saying, you know, curse God. Get mad. Curse God. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, and all that the man has for to give for his life. But put forth your hand now. Touch his bone and the flesh. And he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand. But save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils for the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took his potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What shall we receive good at the hand of God shall not receive evil. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Eventually Job was restored sevenfold. I would you, if you have your Bible, to turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. See, if you look upon preachers today, Christian leaders and so on, there's a lot of suffering. Most preachers will not let the people know that we have family problems. They will not know they're battling diseases or sicknesses. Because they try to put on the front and say, you know, I'm, you know, untouchable. But let me tell you this. All men and women are suffering. We are attacked by Satan. It helps if you talk about it. So we realize, well, I'm not the only one. There's one here, there's one there. You know, we're all in the same boat. Now, how do we fight this? Can we fight this? Yes, we can. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. And if I get to 2 Corinthians, I'll do really super well. Here we go. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I was glad therefore when I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. The Apostle Paul, he had many miracles, the book of Acts. He cast out demons. Man was blind, he healed that. Got through a shipwreck, all kind of different things. But he had a demon. It says the angel. An angel that buffeted him in order because he had such high revelations. And you would think that Paul would simply say, okay, God, I'm sick and tired of this. If you don't get this demon off my back, I'm not going to preach. I cannot preach healing. I cannot preach these different things if I can't be helped myself. For the thing I besought the Lord three times, that he might be depart from me. And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You take a soldier that is in combat. That soldier is going to be under stress. He's going to be shot at. He's going to be hurt in different ways. And if his simply says, well, I'm going to go home. I'm not going to fight the war. I might get killed. I might get hurt. I might get shot. He stays. He fights. We are in a spiritual war that will last until the day you go home to be with Jesus. Then your war is over. This is not a rest home. This is not a nursing home we are in. This is not a resort center. This is combat. This is a combat field. And there are high casualties. I'm sure you know people that left Christ. They walked away. They melted. They couldn't take the heat. They're no longer walking with the Lord. We got to remember this. We're in warfare. And then he said in verse 11, I became a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For nothing am I behind very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. So they've also belittling him, saying, you know, you're an apostle. Hey, Paul, you'll never see Jesus. Get down from your horses. Just get over there and shut up. And he simply said, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders, and mighty deeds. So here's what I want you to share on this particular sub-part here of the message. We believe in healing. We pray for the sick. We do cast out demons. And that does work. We do anoint people with oil. But there are times when we get stumped and we don't get the healing right away. We don't get what we want. And it is discouraging. And at that time, you will have a choir from Satan. These are demons. It's a choir. And they sing in parts. And they will sing and they will pray. Woe unto you. How bad it is. Oh, where is God in all of this? Look upon the pain you have. And they're trying to break you. Get you angry. Cursing God. Walking away. And saying, to hell with it. That's what a lot of people say. I'm not going to take this anymore. That's what I get for serving Christ. He can have it. And Satan says, good job. God, you see that? He cursed you. And all God can do is to hang his head. Yeah, he cursed me. And this is what Satan is doing on a daily basis. The fallen angels, the demons, trying to trip us up, always putting things in our ways, always making life miserable for us, so that we will simply give up. But you got to learn this. You don't want to let Satan take your rewards. You see, Satan cannot put you in hell. He cannot take away your salvation. He's going to the lake of fire. His future is behind him. There's nothing he can do about that. But there's one thing he can do. He can take away your rewards. So when you come to heaven, you will stand before the Lord at the judgment of Christ. And Jesus will simply say, well, you cursed me down there. You walked away. You simply got discouraged. You have no rewards. You are saved, but you got nothing. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm deviating here from my message. I can see right now there's going to be another one on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you pick it up here, verse 11. For the foundation can no man lay, than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his fountain gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So remember this. There's two things the devil can do to you as a Christian. He can take away your testimony, where you simply walk away from the Lord. And he can take all your rewards. So when you get up into heaven, you come in empty-handed. You need to get holy anger. You understand that? Instead of melting, you need to get angry and say in the name of Jesus, devil, get out of here. There's been times I've been in a hurry, and I had something just whipped out of my hands. Mess on the floor. Whatever it was. Food, water. I'm in a hurry, trying to go. And then anger began to rise up within me. And I said, no. I said, I'm not going to get mad. Demons, you had a nice time right now, didn't you? Keep on laughing. Laugh right now. Because I'm going to laugh. When they're going to lower you in a lake of fire, oh, I'm going to laugh. Oh, I'm going to laugh. And you know what happened? The demons just scurry. They go away. They don't like to hear that. That truth. And then I says, okay, oh, well. If God wants you to clean the floor right now, clean the floor right now. Praise the Lord. Big deal. You got to learn that Satan will trip you up. The demons are always sitting there trying to trip you up. But you got to learn how to handle that. So, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is scripture that I'm going to find. I didn't even give it to Charles today. It's from Job, so I've got to find it. And there we go. Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. We read here from verse number 23. Oh, that my words were not written, they were printed in the book. They were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. He shall stand at the latter day on the earth. And though after my skin worm destroyed his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, till my reins be consumed with me. In another place, Job says this, though he slay me, and then you have that in Job 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. He shall also be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. If you really want to have the victory, and I'm talking that to, this is not to beginners, but if you really want to have the victory, you got to make up your mind that whatever comes your way, you're going to be praising God. You're not going to turn your back on him. You're not going to quit. You're still going to preach. I still preach healing. This eye here cannot read. I still preach healing. That does not stop what God said. I will heal them. Just because I got an infirmity does not stop God's word. We proclaim God's word despite what's happening to us. And in due time, we shall be redeemed. I believe in due time I am going to read on my left eye on this earth. I believe that. I believe that God is going to maintain my physical body continually when I do my stuff. For I know that my Redeemer lives. He'll stand in the latter days on the earth. And though after my skin worm destroyed his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He will have a resurrected body. That's what he believed. So, the question I want to ask you today is this, and I used up all my time. So we learned here about the soul and also about being attacked. So this is what I want you to take home with you today. Be sure that you understand. The more you get closer to God, the more attacks you will have. In the meantime, we have had great victories. I mean, we have victories on a weekly basis of people getting saved, people getting healed. I mean, we have all kind of victories. See, this, I don't want you to think that we're living in misery. We are being attacked, but we still have victory. God is still in great things, wonderful things. But it's a battle. And you got to recognize that. So just like when you're in the war, you push the enemy, you go forward, you move forward, you push him back. There are some losses, there's some pain, there's some hurt. But you push forward until you have the enemy defeated. And I want you to think about your soul right now. I wish I probably should have spent more time on that. But go home, look at this outline here, and then ask yourself this. How is my soul? Am I right now working on future diseases? There's a fantastic article I have free of charge for you called Soul Damage. It's on our website, eruc.org. It's called Soul Damage, and you can learn a lot from that. What about you that are not saved? You're watching us today, and you're not saved. And you say, you know, it might not sound too good to be a Christian, but it's better than go to hell. You better believe it is. There's no thermostat in hell. They don't even know what thermostat is in Lake of Fire. So how do you get saved? Just ask God to forgive you right now. Confess your sins. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And ask Jesus to save you. Come into your life. And he will. When we finish here, Charles Terrell is going to come. You in the chapel are not going to hear it. But you that are watching will hear it. And he would tell you in detail how to be saved. He will pray with you, and he will give you what you need to know. To those of you that are Christians, I know many of you that are out there, cyber members, you're struggling with this or that. Be encouraged. Remember this. Satan ultimately will be cast into the lake of fire. We will win. They will lose. All we have to do right now is to be on a battlefield. And you want to shoot more than you're taking in. You want to have more fire going out than fire coming in. So keep on knocking the demons. Get up. Praise the Lord. And keep on trucking until Jesus comes or you go and be with him. Here is Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, for our many wonderful blessings. Thank you for the word of knowledge, Lord, the truth from the Bible. We thank you, Father God, for helping each one of us that heard this message today to apply it to our lives. We thank you for gaining that understanding of the warfare that we're in. And we thank you, Father, for victory in each individual life, Lord. And we praise your name. And we will praise it to the end. We thank you for stamina to make it to the end, Lord. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy task. But it is doable. So we thank you for that. We thank you for being with the prisoners throughout the United States and the world that are incarcerated unjustly, Lord. We have them out there, political prisoners. And we lift them up to you. We lift up Francis Schaeffer Cox to you, the son of a Baptist minister who's in prison for putting the finger on the pedophiles in Alaska. And we thank you, Father God, that he is going to be released soon. We lift up many others that have been unjustly incarcerated. And we thank you, Father, for their release. And we thank you for justice to fall on those that wrongly accused and those that entrapped these people. And the fear of God going to come on them. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay. How did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the sixth part in the series, No Body, No Ministry, and was entitled Emotions and Disease. The soul and physical body are connected, and negative emotions will cause your body's nervous system, organs, and glands to malfunction and bring sickness and disease. Positive and negative emotions create energy in the soul, which in turn is released into the physical body. Medical science confirms just how much our bodies are affected by them. Sickness can also be caused by external factors, but most of the time they are a result of disturbances in the soul. Some people feel that prayer is like a lottery, and the problem is made worse when respected leaders don't want to seem weak and refuse to share how they are struggling. But it is important to be real and authentic in our walk with Christ. Regardless of the circumstances, God is on the throne. There is no crisis in heaven, and He has a solution to every problem. Divine healing is made possible through the work of Jesus on the cross, and it is predicated on the condition that you are walking uprightly with the Lord. After all, why should God heal you if you are living in sin? Pastor John shared personal experiences with an emphasis on living in victory, regardless of the circumstances. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1628. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.